format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Gardner.
Hi, I'm Gardner. I'm an alcoholic, and this is surreal. I'm really happy to be here. I want to thank Dev for asking me to speak. I want to thank my wife, my sister, and her boyfriend for showing up. My sobriety date is November 24th, 2012. This is my home group, and my sponsor is Mike S. I think that's it. I want to especially welcome the newcomer. This is a safe place, and we're really happy you're here. And this is my first time doing this. This is wild and exciting. The best high I've ever had. It's true. So I'll tell you a little bit about my story and move on to what happened and where we are now. So I was born and raised here in New York. I had a great family, great parents. They provided good school, a lot of love, and still I'm an alcoholic. When I was 7 years old, I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome. So if you've been here for a long time and always heard me coughing really loud, that's what that is. So if you don't know what it is, it's a neurological disorder, and I can't help doing things like that, and I couldn't at age 5, 6, 7. And throughout, so that made it really easy to feel different and to feel uncomfortable pretty much at all times and to feel as though no one understood what I was going through. So in a way, it was sort of a direct route to being an alcoholic or at least to being an active alcoholic who wouldn't see the truth. I remember at a dinner once with my family, and it was sort of normal. We had dinner a lot, you know, together, and it was a family where it was somewhat normal for, like, you know, 11, 12, 13-year-old kid to have a small glass of wine. But I remember when I had it, I just had this, it just fixed everything. It made everything go away, all that discomfort and fear and feeling like I was just constantly having to do something. somehow this isn't changing that, but that's okay. And I just remember this absolute contentedness that I always wanted to feel. And then I remember sometime later, another night, having another glass of wine and bringing it into my room privately and forcing myself to choke it down because I needed to feel the feeling I had felt before. And I wasn't feeling it, and that was my fault, and I had to choke it down. And I was, you know, 13 years old. I was like, I couldn't get the alcohol down fast enough. You know, and I was too young to understand that there was something wrong with that. And so, you know, substance abuse was, I don't know, normal, abnormal. Once I got to high school, it was sort of ramped up a bit. And, you know, my story involves other substances a bit. Right around 8th, 9th grade, it definitely did. I won't talk too much about that now. But where I went to high school, which was a great place, it was a real turning point in my life. There was also, it was just a different time in New York, and we could spend our free periods just, you know, self-medicating with older people, like 35-year-olds over random parts of the neighborhood. That's just sort of what we did, you know? And thankfully I found, you know, I found my way into you know, classes and found acting, and I was able to sort of pull myself out of that a bit, but definitely was drinking throughout high school. And then fast forward to college, and that's really where drinking kind of took off. It was normal to, you know, on the weekends, just binge drink, you know, keg parties, all that stuff. And I would just do it to the extreme, to the point that, you know, when the keg was dead or whatever, there was no more alcohol. It was the most painful thing. It was so unpleasant, and I didn't want to accept it. And, you know, that continued at bars, when I could get into bars, et cetera, et cetera. And it was great for an alcoholic because it was normal to just completely act out using alcohol and just being extreme and getting in, you know, scuffles with people and doing crazy things and hurting yourself. And but there were plenty of times, looking back now, where I certainly hurt. I probably hurt myself, but I more just sort of, you know, made scenes, insulted people, damaged property, and was confronted about it later and just always laughed it off, like, ah, oh, you're being too uptight, you know. Everyone's problem is that they're too uptight. And and kind of like knowing inside that something was wrong with that. There was like this, like, I don't know, they're kind of right, but not really wanting to apologize. Just like such a strong will to control everything and be right and not really look at myself. And I remember one specific story in college where I was I was out partying somewhere, and I came home to the dorm late at night, and thank you, and I got my laundry downstairs that I'd left hours earlier, and you know, it was late at night and there were still people up, and I was carrying my laundry up the stairs, and the next day somebody I didn't know told me he was right behind me, and I started falling, and that if he hadn't been there I would have fallen and really hurt myself. And I remember thinking, oh, that's cool, you know, that's funny, man. And he said, he looked at me, didn't know me, and he just said, be careful. And I thought that meant, you know, be careful walking up the stairs when you're doing your laundry and you're drunk. And but I could see that he meant, be careful, you, Gardner, should be careful. And I understood, but I did not want to accept it. So more crazy stories, definitely weird stuff late at night. Walking between subway stations in the tunnel because I didn't want to wait for the next train at 3:30 in the morning. Really, really bizarre, sort of like solo adventuring, you know, drunk, because it would be a great story. But I will fast forward a bit because things happen up quickly up here. And got into a different fellowship than this about 4.5 years ago. Started getting sober there. And then started sort of realizing that my drinking was getting a little out of control, and I didn't like how I was feeling the next day, and I really, really didn't know how to stop. Like, it was just painful. And being with people at bars and bragging about getting sober in my other fellowship and just saying, but I'm not going to give up this addiction, and just acknowledging that it was an addiction, but not aware that I could, you know, there was a solution, I needed it. And my sponsor in that fellowship suggested I take a month off drinking. And I thought, fine, I could do that. And I did, and it was easy. And I was like, great, I'm not an alcoholic. And he said, well, try another one. And I was like, hi. And I got about a weekend, and I drank. Eventually, I made it into AA. I was still drinking a little bit, but I sort of wanted to stay sober. I don't know. And I had one pretty bad relapse, and I woke up the next morning and I was crying in my wife's arms, and I got to a meeting and there was only one person there, the chair of the meeting, and I walked in, I said, is this AA? And he said, yep, it's in Spanish. And I was like, all right, I speak a little high school Spanish, that's right. No one else showed up, but we talked for like an hour and a half, and he just helped me. His name is Javier. He really saved my life. Got to another meeting, I cried my eyes out, and I've been working the steps and, you know, going to meetings and staying sober ever since. And my life is really wonderful now. Standing here, doing this, feeling relatively comfortable doing it, is really, really spectacular. Beautiful things happen in this room and in these rooms in general. You know, it doesn't mean things are perfect. I still mess up all the time. I still feel crazy and self-obsessed. Right before I had a year, I was rushing out. I was, you know, my freelance acting, teaching schedule was really getting to me, and I was rushing to a meeting, and I get there, I lock my bike up, I walk up, and there's a sign on the outside saying, women's meeting. And I was like, come on, man! You're supposed to fix me, you know? Anyway, I found another meeting at the 46th Street Clubhouse, and I go there, and I go in, and there's like the little cafe, little central area outside, and a bunch of people are talking. They're like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? I'm like, oh, not really good, man. I'm feeling really crappy. Excuse me? I think that's a curse. I don't know. Oh, wow. That was fast. Steve, I believe, the guy who runs that place, he said, oh, well, talk to this guy. He's not feeling well either. I was like, what? You're supposed to take care of me. Anyway, I was feeling dejected and stuff. The meeting's about to start, and Steve comes over and says, hey, how much time do you have? And I said, almost a year. And he goes, oh, great, I need a speaker for this meeting. And I was like, oh, all right, this is ridiculous. Anyway, it was a beginner's meeting. There were a lot of people there for the first time. They were not doing well, and I realized it wasn't about me anymore. And I spoke, and everything, all the self-obsession went away. To me, that's AA. That's recovery. getting attention off myself and really just focusing on helping others, especially the newcomer. I had this whole dream I was going to tell you about, but that'll have to wait till another time. This has really been spectacular. I'm really thankful to the Atlantic Group and to the newcomer who's walking in and thinks, doesn't understand why everyone's so excited to like shake their hands. Just realize that it's genuine. We're really happy to welcome you. Thank you for letting me share.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Joan.
Thank you. Oh, I love you, Atlantic Group. And I love God so much. Thank you, Peggy. Okay. My sobriety date is July 23rd, 1986. Atlantic Group is my home group, and Stephanie is my sponsor. The story quick. I was roller disco, baby. And you would be proud of me, red spandex, Ava, red. And I was neon all the way. So my childhood, pretty uneventful in terms of that. I am somebody who believes they were born an alcoholic. I don't care if there was a neurological issue, I was self-medicating. I don't really care about any of that, except that I'm a real drunk. But when I came in, I wasn't a drunk. No. I would raise my hand and say, I'm not really an alcoholic, but... And they said, don't worry, keep coming back. My story has gotten really low bottom as I've stayed in longer and longer. I'll just tell you a few examples of... I fell in love with a pimp at a roller disco. And I mean, my heart was just smitten. I would go and, try to get him to love me, but I didn't get too far. Because he only wanted the working girl. Another just brief story. I had another substance in my story, but really, even as young adult, I didn't have anything as a child. In fact, my father, when I was something like 16 and with friends and people, and they offered me wine, out of the blue, he said, oh, no, don't give Joan any wine. She's allergic. She's an alcoholic. Trust me, that's what he said. I had never had a drink. He'd never seen me drink. Why he said that, God only knows. He was right. I did anything to drink. I never could understand why I wasn't asked out again. I thought I was fantastic. So outgoing, so gorgeous and playful. No. I was stumbling. I was babbling. I didn't even know that I had gone to Florida twice with someone. I had no clue. I don't remember it. In fact, a wonderful thing happened to me when I joined this group 2 years ago, is that I went to bring a meeting into a member's home, who's subsequently become a dear friend, and we were talking after the meeting, which was great, and she asked me what I had done in the past, and I told her that it was a different name, and her husband was cooking in the kitchen, which was off of this large living room, and he came walking in and sat down, and started asking me a couple of questions. He was very pleasant. I don't know who he was, but he was very, very pleasant. It seemed like he knew me. We were in the same business. Finally, he said to me, we went out together. And I said, did we sleep together? And he said, oh, yes. I did not recognize this man, so I'm not going to be accurately able to tell you my alcohol stories and my bottom, because it was like a total gray out. Okay? Finally, my ex-husband went into AA. I went into Al-Anon. The doctor pushed me in because I did not have a problem. A year later, I'm in Paris. I cannot stop drinking. I took my daughter. The white wine, I don't know why. I listen to people with their big alcohol. They were such powerful alcohol. I loved white wine. I could not get enough of those crappy cases of Almaden white wine. I'd buy the boxes, and they would line up in whatever. But all along this time, I had tried to help myself. Believe me, I became an Orthodox Jew. I don't come from a religious family, you understand? My mother only said a couple of times, I heard her say, "God help me, because no one else will." But I didn't have been in a house of worship. So I came in knowing, I loved, by the way, that was a joke, it came out funny, but being a religious is very important to me. I'm not, okay, I am into, thank you, 5 more minutes. Okay, I'm going to go. I was in therapy 3 times a week. I was unemployable. I was done. I had 26 years of recovery, and I was not happy. I had found meditation at 23 years, and that connected me with the divine, but I really didn't have the roadmap to a higher power. I just didn't have God. I didn't even know God. I don't put my recovery down. It was what I had, and I did it, and I made many years sober, but I'd never really worked the steps, so I'd been to workshops and all. So Ava was working with someone in this room, whom I love, in Club Med, and I was watching them working together. And this was someone who had more time than I was, and she was getting healthy. She was not a, and then my other friend also was a nervous hilaria, and I couldn't even be with her. She was such a nervous hilaria. But she was calming down. So I figured I'm going to follow them right into the Atlanta group, though I had no desire to be here because I was so much better than this group. You had to have structure, commitments, you know, rules. I had 26 years. I didn't know a thing. I got to tell you, I was catapulted into a new world coming here. This has given me life. I followed people around and asked them to sponsor me. I was not able to get a sponsor right away. I couldn't. I was too needy. I had to start from the beginning, I was told, and they didn't have time, the people, but they didn't reject me. They became friends, and they kept me in their family, so I felt a part of. In the meantime, Ron Black, God bless him, not knowing me, standing in the front there, said, "I'll take you through the big book," because I didn't have anyone to do that. And every day or quite a week until we got through the big book, I would call him on the phone, and we would read it, and he would explain it, and I began to get the tools that way. Then I got my sponsor. Look, for newcomers, there's no right way to do things, but I restarted my program. I came in as a beginner. So in some ways, I have 28 years, and I'm proud of those 28 years, but I have two in a certain way. I'm just beginning to work the steps on a regular basis. We did 10. I'm still doing 9-step amends. You know, I meditate this morning. And you know, I love you all. I believe that God is in every single person, every single thing, and that it is about love. And God is love, and God is kindness, and God is healing. Now, it doesn't mean everything goes happiness. I lost 3 jobs in sobriety because I was nuts in sobriety. I lost money in sobriety. I was nuts. I couldn't spend enough. I couldn't boss people around enough. You know, this was happening to me while I was clean or whatever, sober, and running 11-step meetings and 10-step meetings and I don't want to put myself down because I don't want to put anybody's recovery down. It was a gift, and not too soon did I get here. But I have been able to know that there is God. And now I know for sure. I don't care what you call it. You can call it Allah. You can call it Jehovah. You can call it, I don't care. It's, to me, love. It's infinity. It's total. I choose to call it God. Okay, I have 1 minute. I just want to take this 1 minute to say, everybody, thank you for welcoming me, for putting your arms around me, for being there for me. And to my sponsor, who said to me the first time when I asked her to sponsor me, she took my hands and she said, looked at me, I am totally committed to you. And who has not wavered from that commitment one second. So sponsorship, I beg you to look for a sponsor, to go through the steps. I had never done this, and I'm telling you, I have a life. I'm here. I actually, sometimes I don't put myself down. I tend to be feeling guilty, which is a character defect, not a good thing. I tend to get anxious before speaking, which I'm told by Ava is simply self-centered fear. And I want to thank you, everybody, and thank you, Peggy.